A long time ago.
He started, unsure.
Where? With them Topolinos? Longer back. Well, where then?
Ivor Breen said, his tone sharpening. Regis considered that question for a few moments. What would be gained by telling Ivor Breen? The old drunk probably wouldn't even believe it, and if he did, well, to what gain? Others had told Regis that Ivor Breen was proud of him in his own way, whispering about his boy with the grandfather, between bites of his meals at the local common rooms. Perhaps, Regis mused, he had just wanted to hurt the man, to steal from him the one boasting point in all of his miserable life. But why? Because of the neglect? Because Ivor Breen had been a fairly pathetic father, even though Ivor Breen wasn't even his father at all? No, Regis decided then and there. He was allowing his own pettiness to sway him, but there was no place for such things. His entire purpose for returning to Toril awaited him just a trio of years down the road, the long road to Icewind Dale. He looked at Ivor Breen and offered a disarming smile. He really didn't want to hurt the halfling. It was that simple. He laughed.
Grandfather calls me Spider. Spider Paraffin, son of Ivor Breen, student of Grandfather Pericolo Topolino.
Ivor Breen looked at him even more curiously at first, as if wondering what in the nine hells had just transpired and to what end. But then he nodded, even laughed a bit, echoing,
Spider, eh? I like that much better.
Regis felt proud of himself for rising above pettiness, for being able to separate his own wounded feelings enough to find for this poor soul Ivor Breen the same compassion Regis had shown to others in his previous life. The smile couldn't spread too widely, though, as Regis reminded himself that he would indeed be wounding Ivor Breen, perhaps mortally, when he left Delthuntle, and that unsettling thought had him chewing his lip. How could he do this? How could he go to Icewind Dale thousands of miles away when he was needed here? How could he walk away from this life he had built on the shores of Aglarond? He thought of Drizzt then, and of Catti Bree and Brunner. It would be grand to see them again, of course. But he thought of Ivor Breen and Pericolo and Denala. Yes, mostly of Denala. Of all that he had come to love about his life here in Delthuntle. The halflings of Delthuntle had been good to him and to Ivor Breen. Even before Regis had signed on with Pericolo Topolino, he and Ivor Breen had known kindness from fellow halflings. And to think that here, in this city of tall and hardy men, a halfling like Pericolo could rise to such stature and prominence. Even the more formal thieves' guilds in the city, including the most powerful of all, the Three-Fingered Ring, an organization known to frown upon any lesser guilds, afforded Pericolo and his halfling Marauda great respect. Regis himself had witnessed the respectful bows of the Delthuntle Lord's Guard, the Hobgoblins, whenever Pericolo Topolino walked past them. The halflings of Delthuntle were not treated as curiosity pieces or lessers. Whether that was because of Pericolo or an attitude that had helped facilitate Pericolo's rise.
A good halfling community, he said aloud,
though he was speaking to himself and not to Ivor Breen. The older halfling heard him, though.
"What's that?" he asked. "A good halfling community," Regis stated more loudly. "Here in Delthuntle, I mean, as good as any I have ever known."
That brought a curious look from Ivor Breen. Regis laughed at his own foolishness. As far as Ivor Breen was concerned, Delthuntle was the only place Regis had ever known. Regis nodded, though he was not looking at Ivor Breen and not even hearing the actual words as the older halfling pressed him on the point. He was considering his unexpected status, and to his surprise, he found that it was no small thing. Here in Delthuntle, halflings were not second class, and here in Delthuntle, he personally was not the tag-along. Far from it, here he was the protégé, growing strong and skilled under grand tutelage. His thoughts careened to a lonely mountain rising into a starlit sky on the northern tundra. That image had been so prominent in his thoughts on that day he had walked out of Iruladun. He had never imagined how difficult this 21-year journey back home would prove to be. When he had walked out of Iruladun, he merely thought that he would bide his time, training, always training, and would return to the companions of the hall as if nothing had ever interrupted their heroic journey. Not so, he knew now. He looked at Ivarbreen, who needed him. He thought of Pericolo, who had taken him in and shown him great kindness and opportunity. He felt again the softness of Donala's kiss. Not so, he knew now. Regis couldn't reason his way out of it. He couldn't pretend it had never happened, and he couldn't even sublimate it by reminding himself of the higher purpose this second chance at life had given him. He thought about it when he went to his bed at night. He dreamed about it. He thought about it when he woke up each morning. He tried to attribute it to youthful exuberance, but even if that were the case, it didn't seem to matter. No, that kiss from Donala had overwhelmed Regis. In both of his lives, he had never experienced anything quite like it. But the lingering taste of it wasn't all joy for the halfling as he pondered it through the hours and days, for there were things about Donala. 4 days after the incident, he readied for his daily sparring match with his instructor. Donala came in smiling in a grand mood. She lifted her blade and tipped it in salute. But he dropped the tip of his rapier to the floor and shook his head.
"Are you troubled?"
Donala asked, similarly dipping her blade and wearing an expression of honest concern.
"Why did you kiss me?"
Regis asked bluntly, unable to contain his unease. Donala fell back a step, as if she had been slapped.
"What?
You kissed me. You kissed me back.
Of course I did. You're beautiful."
Regis lowered his gaze as he felt his cheeks blushing. Donala's laughter followed him, and finally he looked back up.
"Thank you,"
she said, and dipped a curtsy, and she too was blushing.
"But why?"
Regis asked.
"Why what? Why did you kiss me?"
She started to answer, but Regis's expression turned dark, and he continued.
"What did you hope to gain from it?"
Donala fell back another step, but then came forward aggressively, dropping her blade and putting her hands on her hips. She stood barely inches from Regis, staring at him coldly.
"You cannot be mad at me,"
Regis insisted.
"You have shown me, you have taught me. You have taken me to those noblemen's grand parties and shown me how you use your charms to manipulate—"
Donala's hand came up faster than Regis could react.